Dave Meltzer here, and have I got another great one for you. I sat down with racing legend Danica Patrick to talk about her racing career, how shifting her self-awareness has helped her find deeper meaning in life, and why her truth in life involves brightening people's lights. Join us for all of that and more here on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer, CEO of Sports One Marketing, here with Entrepreneur The Playbook. And I have one of the world's best athletes. And most people don't know that car drivers are athletes. They think it's really easy.
It's like a runner's heart rate during the race. So marathons every weekend.
But it takes a lot of focus to be a car driver. And I think that's what I want to talk about most.
Yeah.
Because I was talking to you earlier, and I believe that you're going through what Wayne Dyer calls a quantum shift.
Mm.
And a lot of people in their 30s, not to age you.
No, I am. I'm going to be 36.
There you go. You look much younger.
Thank you.
But they go through this quantum shift where your purpose in life changes and your awareness elevates. And I know you...
That's happening. No doubt.
Tell me a little
nailed
bit
about it. Tell me more about myself. No, it seems like if I'm just quiet, you could just tell me more. Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, when, you know, I was younger, you know, you're just kind of working and you're doing things to generate attention and awareness as far as like other people to you. But now it's more of that shift towards, there you go, awareness of what's going on with you to everyone else. So to wake them up, to get them to think more open-minded, question everything, find a deeper meaning for things instead of just kind of being on autopilot. So definitely, I mean, I have, you know, so many other projects going on now, which really just came from passions of mine. I mean, they were really just dreams and ideas, and each one of them took their own time to manifest, but some of them happened pretty quickly, as you well know, and as you teach people how quickly that kind of thing can happen. Yeah, it's a fun time for me. I love this shift. Like, this shift is so, it's not only empowering to me, but it makes me want to empower other people.
I'm gonna tell you a story, because we were about, when I was your age, I was flying to India and I met this medical doctor. And it reminded me when I saw you this time. I've seen you from near and afar through my sports career. And of course, you probably didn't notice me, but I've always kind of watched, because I like to watch really successful people. But I noticed like you have this tremendous light, but I always felt like you were blocking it when you were younger. Like you know, very focused, but there was so much more to it. And this lady told me on a plane, she goes, you know, the whole world vibrates. And
everything is vibration.
Right. Earth, animals, plants,
everything.
Humans,
yep.
Sound, light, thought. And then she said to me, she goes, you know what vibrates the fastest?
Light.
No. The truth.
The truth. Oh, my God.
Which is a light. Huh. But yes, the truth. And it shook me, because I was way more lost than you were. I was not quite my shift. But this was what catapulted me, was this idea that what if I was in the pursuit of my potential at all times? To vibrate faster.
That's my mission. You know what? I come up with a word of the year every year. My word last year, guess what it was?
Potential?
No.
Truth?
Yep.
Yeah. And
there you go.
Well, that makes sense with your shift. So a lot of people don't get this, but you can only be aware of that which vibrates equal to or less than you. So every time that you're at a gamma vibration, which is the truth, they call it God's vibration, mm-hmm. that you're aware of the most things. And what I try to bless people with is awareness, because it's so powerful. Like,
yeah.
Even in sports,
yeah.
If you're aware of who's behind you,
yeah.
Without looking, or aware, because you can sense things, right? There's a certain awareness.
You know, that's like people talk about your gut feeling, or, you know, I mean, that's just your awareness, right? That's your other sensory. That's your knowing. That's your sort of, to me, that's your spiritual center that knows and sees so much, and, you know, potentially has so much more history. How many lifetimes does it have? But it, you know, it has that sensing, that knowing around it.
Now I'm going to take you from a very high spiritual talk to back to a pragmatic one. One of the things that I believe that I help people with is transcoding the truth into this pragmatic world that we live in. So you could transfer it down to,
because you want to live, right? Like, I have this
play the game.
I have this conversation with my girlfriends where I'm like, I don't want to be detached. Like, I don't want to live in this woo-woo world that nobody understands and I can't affect anyone. I want to still function in the world, and I want to be able to reach other people in the world. So this is going to be very beneficial for me.
Yeah, my, go ahead. And my wife was very spiritual, and I used to tell her, look, I don't want to sit at home high on my mom's couch, right? And like pretending to have a Ferrari. Like, I want to go out and buy my own Ferrari.
Yeah.
So when you kind of lower your vibration or transcode this higher thinking, it takes what I consider different things that you have. One, consistent behavior, right? You have a cellular memory. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think one of our people on Elevator Pitch talked about a cellular memory.
Yeah.
And so I believe that the body works in a 24-hour period, and that if you don't do things every day, that you're actually not programming your body correctly. Because so many people, and this might resonate with you, they think they're doing the right things because they go 5 days in a row and they work out right, they eat right, they whatever it may be, they stay focused on their goal. But in day six, they zero out. And there's a quantum zero that loses the exponential accelerator of manifestation.
This like neuroplasticity, yes. Basically?
Yeah. So if you zero yourself out, you won't get the results that you want. But to be the world's best at something, which you are, it took a consistent, every day, persistent without quit, enjoyment of the pursuit of that potential as a race.
Visualize it, really feel it, know it. There's a, I think it's maybe the first chapter of my book. It's called the chapter title is Mind River, which is basically just it's neuroplasticity. It's the thoughts that you have create a new thought process for you. You reprogram your brain through repetitive right. thinking, repetitive actions, and then the real manifesting comes in when you not only think them, but you visualize them, you write them down, you feel them, you assume, imagine, live as if they already exist.
And your brain actually forms neural pathways.
There you go. That's right? It. You know all the big words. I'm just like, this is all just like,
just
you know,
amazed.
Baby steps. Like, I'm just baby step into the elevator. That's so funny. What about Bob reference?
Set him down.
Perfect. Set him down.
No, it's interesting because I went through my shift and my hardest part was, okay, so you're this woo-woo spiritual guy that has this higher enlightenment and you want to share it with people, but I like to make money, right? And I like all these kind of
side ventures. Do you like to make money or you like the challenge?
I actually like to make money for one reason, because it allows me, empowers me to help others.
Okay,
I live at this
vibration.
So
it's a transfer. It's a transfer.
Yeah. But I find it was a conflict at first. How can I be this enlightened being, but have, you know, like for you, GoDaddy, right? They're literally endorsing you for your future with all these great business ventures. And how do you reconcile, you know, this awareness of yours with this great company that's been supportive of you on the track and now is supporting you with these great ventures off the track?
Well, I mean, you were talking about, you know, in my earlier career and, you know, being at this new stage now, this shift stage, and how, you know, it's funny. I almost use the example. It's almost just like GoDaddy, where originally it's about kind of, you know, being flashy and getting noticed and not necessarily as much depth to it. It's really just, you know, kind of hitting the scene. And then, you know, over time, you know, you evolve into this space where you want to help other people. And so, you know, their company is now obviously all about helping people with, really, it's about their dreams, which are their, you know, they call the side hustle, which is essentially, if you have a side hustle that you're doing for nothing, it's probably your passion, right? I mean, and that's what all my companies have been. That's what my book's about. That's what my clothing line, my wine that I make. I mean, like, all those things were just side hustle projects that were like, yeah, I'm just going to keep dumping money and time into these things and hope that they, you know, hope they go right. Hope they at least don't lose money. But, you know, the funny thing about things that are a passion is they tend to take off really well. Because you're really invested, they're pure down to the core, and you're willing to work hard for them. So it's a cool transition, especially for this last phase of my racing career, to have them back, to be able to, I mean, we're reflecting back to each other where we're at in this point in life, which is just, you know, all about growing and helping people and making your dreams become a reality, which is just the coolest stuff. Like, I love watching people make their dreams become reality. It's really powerful. It's they're living their truth, which, you know, I mean, if we're talking about like the shift and the deep truths and stuff, it's like, look, people might not want to hear it from me, but, you know, I love racing, but it's, you know, when I finally had a little crack in the shell a few years back about like, oh my God, it's not my passion. Like, I love it, but it's Like, I don't go to the track for fun on the weekends. I don't watch racing on TV because I'm obsessed with it. I just don't care. There are parts I love about it, but it was when I finally realized that truth of mine, and then things take a while. Sometimes they take a while. You know, a few years later, certain things started to show themselves as being signs to me, and that's important too in life, is start to recognize the signs. I'm all about trying harder, but you have to understand when something isn't for you anymore, and it's not a matter of giving up, it's a matter of letting go. And so that's what I had to come to the conclusion of with my racing career, was I love it, but it's not my passion, and it's time to let it go, to let another passion flourish for me. And so my dream for myself, and this is just kind of an idea, I guess, is that somebody or anybody or everybody knows me for something other than racing, because it will have just meant that was that successful, because I cared that much. And not to be dismissal of racing, I love racing, and that's been everything that's put me exactly where I am today. These opportunities would not be here without racing. But I just wanted to sort of speak volumes about these other projects and how much I love them.
Well, it was fun for me because I have been more stick and ball sport type of person. And one of my dear friends is Eric Dickerson.
Oh.
And it blew me away. Mm-hmm. I started talking football with mm-hmm. Eric Dickerson because my business partner, Warren Moon, loves football. It's mm-hmm. still his passion.
Yeah.
Right? He announces it.
Yeah.
He watches like Little League games. You know, he's just crazy about it.
I was a Bears fan for a really long time.
Not anymore, I'm sure. But, you know, when he sat there, I'm talking football, he goes, Dave, just please stop. I don't watch football. Like, what? I don't really like football.
Yeah.
Right?
People don't want to hear that. It's almost like you're cheating the system, yeah, right? I feel like that's where you're cheating the system.
Cheating
you're like,
me.
No, you're supposed to love it. If you're that good,
hero,
you're right? supposed to love that thing, yeah. that sport or that job or whatever it is. But it's like, just because you're good at it doesn't mean that you want to do it every day, all day. Like when I was younger, I used to like totally think that people were lying when they said, oh, if I could drive every day, I would. I'm like, nope, not me. Like, you're full of it. You're a liar.
Fossil fuels running in circles, right? It's hard to be passionate about.
Low vibe.
Right.
Some of it is.
Right. But it's
competitive
awesome.
World. There are things, and anytime things are competitive,
so
it can be.
You're in
the
business world now. And it's interesting because I choose projects that carry the same vibration. I don't believe in coincidences, right? I believe in the coinciding of things.
Right.
And I hate to go back to GoDaddy, but I think
reactions.
It's really cool because you're a catalyst to so many different people. You know, and whether you liked it or not, you know, I have three teenage daughters and you're the icon for empowerment to them, right? Which to me, like, I'm going to choke up a little bit, but like, it's cool because, you know, I knew you in a certain way. And when my girls would say, this is what I want to be back, like, I said, oh, you want to race cars? I'll put you into kart racing. They're like, no, I want to be like Danica.
Oh, man,
which
that's even better.
Right?
Like, that's so much better.
Right. And that's something that I aspire to, that, you know, my kids didn't even think of me famous until I got a blue check next to my name and I had to ask somebody what that meant.
What did that mean? How
exactly.
did you get that thing?
Exactly. My 13 went crazy. I'm like, right on. I'm like Danica.
All right, blue check. Hey,
exactly.
You know, high five to the blue check. It's you know, it's little marks along the way that say, you're doing good.
Literally. Well, but GoDaddy, would you do business with GoDaddy if they weren't, because they're so aligned with you. They
yeah.
are a passion and a dream-making
yeah.
company.
Like
my first website I used, my domains, I probably own 1,000 now through them.
Yeah. I mean, I remember hearing way back in the day when we first started together and my friends would, because I mean, look, I'm not doing it myself. So like when I'm setting up websites and doing things and getting domain names, like I have assistants and they all get that. And they're a sponsor. So like, you know, they just line it all out and make it happen. But a lot of my friends would use them, of course, and probably a lot because of me, but also because they're like, their customer service is so good. Like, it's so easy. They call, they're
easy.
Like, so, I mean, I remember hearing that way back in the day. And so when you're rooted in that kind of service and that kind of, you know, one-on-one kind of situation, then I feel like it's just, it was a good platform for them to rise from there.
I'd be kicking your agents.
You get one shot, right? There's so many companies out there, as you all know, there's so many companies, you know, you tend to get one shot with people. So, you know, when you actually get someone on the phone and it's easy and they check on you and it's good, then, you know, you're going to get them back.
Yeah, and what a great company to endorse you. It's funny. I'm a past agent, right, with Lee Steinberg, and I always think, if I was clever enough or aware enough to be an agent and I was Danica's agent, imagine if I was genius enough to say, hey, as part of the deal, I want 1,000 domain names like the.com or like, you know, three-letter domain names.
You'd be a billionaire. Back in the day, man?
Oh, I'm an idiot. I would have thought of it.
The youth is wasted on the young. Dang it. Geez. Don't you think that too? Oh, my God. There's so many man-made institutions out there that it frustrates me. Like, one of them that makes me really frustrated is school. Like, I understand we need some formal education of some sort, but isn't it wasted on the young? I'm now, you know, 35, 36 years old. Like, I want to learn more than ever now. And I get that I'm an adult and I don't, like, I need to go work and not go to school. But, you know, when you're 8 years old, you want to play. You don't want to get yelled at for sitting on the wrong part of the rug on the floor. Like, you know, it's just like, I just think there are so many man-made institutions out there that it's like schools want.
So I'll turn on some cool books about that. It's actually when we're born, we're geniuses. And then they say by the time we're five, that all the conditions and judgments that are made from us, that we've lost 95% of our genius by socialization, that you're actually connected. And in fact, I had this great interview with this
kid. Not actually seeing things. Right. You actually see them.
You project them, right? Yeah. And it's coming through you, not for you. And I actually had an interview where he's a medium. And
I have a medium friend and it's so cool.
It's awesome, right? I actually learned in India how to channel and do things. But this guy for 5 minutes straight in the interview was looking away from me and his eyes were glossed over. He was channeling and I had to stop the interview and go, hold on a second. You just witnessed something. So people could see
what it is.
Right. And that's the detachment that I like. Now, one quick question before we finish too is,
no, we're not done. We have so much more channeling and spiritual things to talk about.
All right, we'll continue on. But one thing that most athletes like yourself and most business people as well, so I've been more, after I played football in college, all strictly about money, was I always attached my happiness to an outcome. And racing is an outcome.
Detach from outcomes. It's like one of the number, detach from outcomes and the law of least resistance.
So explain to me, because I have my own philosophy, how can you be so competitive, which you still are in the business world and for a few more races, but how can you, what does it mean to you to detach from the outcome but still be goal oriented?
Well, I believe that, I don't believe I always know the best way to get there. And so how am I to know that I'm actually reaching the final phase or the final outcome of something by one turn along the way? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
how is this thing that I have to do next, or this way I've been for this position I've been put in or forced into in some way, which might actually be, of course, the right direction, and it might help me to get to where I need to go. And so, you know, how am I supposed to know how I'm supposed to get to my furthest outcome, the most, the highest level of something? I don't know those things. That's why I encourage people. I mean, every time I do a speech, every single time, no matter what age they are, and in fact, the older the better usually for this message, is to ask everyone, not right at the moment because I want them to pay attention to me, but but think about what it is that you could do if you could do anything in the world. Like, that's it. Just think about what your furthest out there, loftiest dream is. I don't care how big it, like, I don't care if it's literally fly to the moon with your arms. Like, I don't care. Like, whatever your loftiest dream is, what is it? Because if you don't know what it is, you're never going to get there. And kids have, like you said, before you're five, you know, you have this exactly. genius potential, and then you're conditioned by society, and you know, you lose that spark, you lose that fire, that light, and you know, your chakras are dimming by the second. And so anyway, it's you know, the adults need it the most because it's never too late. I mean, look at Betty White.
Yeah, oh, she's awesome. One of my favorites too. Now, I have my last question, which is going to change because you really already answered what I normally ask. You've already said what your legacy. I want to know, someone like you, what is your truth? I told her there'd be no zingers. I lied.
Yeah, okay.
I saved it to the last question.
My truth? I mean, I think I told you one that is pretty revealing as far as someone who's been very successful in something, and that's that, you know, racing really isn't my passion. While I'm good at it and I love it, it's not my passion. But I think that my evolving, emerging truth is that And I've always felt like I'm here to do great things, and I've always felt like racing was a platform for me that I was supposed to continue down, because it's like it's a unique platform. I can reach people, I can affect them, but I'm beginning to think that that's not necessarily the only way I can do it. And perhaps I was actually told by an astrologer a little over a year ago, I usually do it on my birthday, that she saw me doing books and traveling a lot, and she said that, you know, I see you, you are someone who can reach people that not others can because of this, where I've been in the sports world. And so I just feel like my truth is that I've always felt like I was different, and I always felt like I have something to offer people, and somehow I have this drive that people can feed off of. And so it's to help people find their own, and it's all there. Everyone has it. It's just a matter of getting them to wake up to it and to realize it and believe it. So to affect people, to help people, to help brighten their light. And, you know, ultimately I would love to be that kind of person that, you know how you walk into a room and you see someone that you just love, and you're like, you just smile when you see them. I want to be that person that's sitting down there. Somebody walks in and they're like, oh my God. And they just smile. Like, I want to be the brightest light. Like, I want to be light. I want to be positivity. I want to bring people up, and I don't want to be susceptible to other people's negative energy to bring me down. I want to have the ability to bring people up to me. And I think that would be a really powerful position to be in, because it's going to, you know, affect the collective. And, you know, that's what we need, is this, we need to create a good cancer.
Exactly. A collective belief. And I do want to thank you, because it did and does mean a lot to me, not just for my teenage daughters, and because it's so difficult to empower kids alone. And it's so important nowadays, especially for women, to, I think, understand you can manifest anything you desire rapidly and accurately, yeah, even in the most masculine sport, or in the highest physics, or in the world of woo-woo, whatever you dream about. I think, you know, these limiting beliefs that are generations and even past lives old, that we have to break through that. And it's people like you that are full of light that really have, you inspire so many. And I'm involved because I have these teenage girls, and I see who they look up to, which means so much more than anything I could. You know, I've said to my kids for years, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And I know that's gone in one ear, out the other, and it's good advice.
How many times do parents say you are who you hang with? But, you know, at the end of the day, you are. Whether it's we like attracts like. So if your friends are not good friends, then maybe that's in you too. And so, you know, it's the sort of the concept of like dress for the job you want, not the one you have. So go find some friends. Go find different friends. And, well,
thank you,
you know,
for being a friend.
There's one other concept, and yep, like maybe you know about this.
I
don't know if this is true or not, but this is along the same lines of, you know, finding good friends or saying positive things, dreaming into things. And that's that I feel like I heard at some point that your subconscious can't tell the difference between a truth and a lie. And so if you go into everything with that mindset that it can't tell the difference, what are you saying to yourself? Like, You stop looking in the mirror and going, I'm ugly. You stop doing that. You stop saying I'm not worthy. You stop saying I'm stupid, because if you think about it, where you're actually telling yourself that for real, programming yourself that, then all of a sudden, you know, you might start rethinking the way that you talk to yourself. And look, we're made of what, 70-80% water. And for anybody out who is that's never watched the Yamamoto, there's a water thing on YouTube, and it talks about how, you know, your thoughts and intentions affect the crystal structure,
the actual cellular
structure of the water. And they freeze it and, you know, go under a microscope and look at it, and it tells the difference between like hard rock music and saying hurtful things to, you know, Mozart and Bach and, you know, saying words like love, and it, the difference of it. We're so much more in control than we know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or than we think.
And accountable. And I think not only self-talk, but we have to learn to talk to others, because attacking thoughts get attacking thoughts back.
Well, it's just a projection, isn't it? I mean, if you're mean to somebody, all you're doing is showing them what you're insecure about.
Exactly. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time.
We don't have enough time. This is a deep, deep subject.
We went way over, and I'm about to be kicked off this set. But,
oh,
Danica, we
I'm
will
gonna
do it again.
I'm going to stay here because I think we're just going to film right after this, right?
We are. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
This is Entrepreneur the Playbook with the wonderful Danica Patrick.
Thanks for listening, and remember to tune in every Tuesday for the latest episode of The Playbook.